Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:12 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is March 22nd. And I'd like to start off today by talking about the Dow Jones, because not that many people look at the Dow, despite the fact that it's often quoted in the financial media. Most people focus on the S&P 500. But there is an undeniable fact, and that it did accelerate in January, and it was among the leaders, and it was being led higher by companies like Boeing and Caterpillar, both of which have both substantial international operations as well as having substantial Chinese operations. And the index today was down 724 points. And on a 24,000 point index, that's perhaps not as large as one might anticipate, but nonetheless, this is a key, this is a very large downward dynamic. And more to the point is that since the peak in January, we have now got three lower highs, and this is a lower low. So when we look at this now on a weekly basis, we should really start to ask simple questions. And this is just purely very simple behavioral technical analysis. Well, is it trending or ranging? Well, there was definitely a beautiful trend, and the pace of the advance picked up. Something that we often see in well-developed trends is that the consistency of the trend improves the longer it is in existence, because people get converted to the bullish hypothesis. And that's exactly what we saw in 2016 and 2017 in particular. Is it still consistent? Well, certainly not relative to the very impressive, consistent chart that we had in 2016. In fact, this is the biggest pullback we've seen since 2015. And there have been some really quite large downward dynamics. We've certainly had an uptick in volatility. It is coming back down towards the region of the trend mean, and there was an impressive bounce from that area in early February. There was a lot of debate about just whether the major indices would come back to test their respective lows. I've been in the camp from the beginning that was quite a likely scenario. But the big question is whether they in fact bounce from their respective lows. The introduction of this of the prospect of protectionism and trade wars is a wild card. And we are seeing that the effects are not being evenly distributed. So, for example, when we look at the S&P 500, it also pulled back in a dynamic manner, and this is a new closing low. So it did move to a very incrementally higher high, but that was a key reversal. And pardon my phone going off. I really should have that on silent. I'm sorry. When we look at it here, we can see that this was a really rather a large downward dynamic, and there's now a short-term oversold condition. So if we're still in a benign environment, we should get a bounce reasonably soon. But nonetheless, the likelihood or potential for the lows in February to be retested have certainly increased. And we're not that far away from the trend mean right now, not least because it didn't have as much of a bounce as, for example, the NASDAQ, but it wasn't as overextended either. But certainly we did have some acceleration in the latter part of last year as the full consequences of the tax cuts were being priced in. Well, the NASDAQ 100 failed to sustain its breakout earlier this week, and it did so in a rather, in a particularly dynamic fashion. But it was a key reversal right at the top. And then we had the draw, the big drop on Friday, and now we're getting some follow through on the downside, and we're now pressuring what was the most recent higher reaction low that we saw at the beginning of this month. So if we're going to see a bounce, it would want to start happening. Now, when we start to look at some of the broader indices, for example, the Consumer Staples Index has been losing momentum for much of the last 18 months, and it broke its progression of higher reaction lows in here today. So It is trading below the trend mean. The trend mean has turned downwards. We've had a massive reaction against the prevailing trend, and this is going to have to turn around in a hurry, in a manner similar to what we saw back in 2015, in order to question top formation completion. Now, one of the points that I've highlighted about this index is that it does tend to find support around the 3.5% level, and we're currently at about 3.12%. So what we could potentially have is it pulling back until we get to a more attractive yield. That is something that is certainly a potential outcome for a considerable number of the bond proxies that people have been investing in. It's a similar story for the utilities index, which has pulled back over the course of the last 4 months. But when we look at the yield on the utilities index, there isn't quite the same evidence of support being found around 3.5% because the yield is there already. In fact, if we look at that long-term chart of the yield, we have a progression of lower rally highs. This is much closer to a bond proxy than we have for example, the consumer staples. Consumer staples benefit both from the consistency of their revenues, but also from their leverage to the growth of the global consumer. But considering that we do have this protectionist outcome that is probably weighing on them at present. When we look at the bond markets in here today, we had a very interesting session because the yield on the 10-year got right down to 2.8% and then it bounced. And I suspect that if we see additional weakness in stock markets tomorrow, then that will start to put upward pressure on bond prices. What we've seen in bond prices has been that there's been a loss of momentum on the downside from around this 120 area. And upside follow through tomorrow would begin to suggest that some short covering is underway. There has been a reluctance among investors to believe that bonds could ever rally again because there is so much additional supply coming through. And that is, I think, a rather compelling argument from the perspective of a medium-term investor. But in the short term, a desire for a safe haven can trump those conditions, I think. And that's something that I think we need to at least be open to the possibility that there could quite easily be mean reversion in these bond prices. I was betting along those lines about 6 or 7 weeks ago, and I was way too early. But I think that there is the prospect now that we could be moving into that sort of environment. Then when we look at what are the potential outcomes from protectionism, well, certainly it's going to be those, unfortunately, big international companies, potentially like the autonomies, at least some of them, that have got the greater leverage to China rather than the entire span of the global economy, that are probably going to experience some selling pressure. So, for example, Yum Brands is one of those. And when you look at, actually, it's not Yum, it's been split into Yum China. So Yum China is obviously a Western company that generates all of its income in China. So that is where we see some of the selling pressure starting to come through, whereas Yum Brands now represents all of Yum's, which is basically KFC and Taco Bell. It's all of their operations outside of China. So quite how much selling pressure that should encounter as a result of rising protectionist measures or a trade war between China and the USA is rather open to question. Apple relies on China for approximately 20% of its income, and that's, or of its revenue, depending on how you want to define that. It posted a downside key reversal on the 13th, and it's been down on consecutive days since. And or at least it hasn't been able to rally by any measurable extent. And despite the fact that it was spent most of today in positive territory, it has closed on the low of the day. Apple, among the very large technology companies, is one of the few that has actually got a successful franchise in China. Google, Facebook, Netflix, Amazon have all been squeezed out of China by China supporting the domestic copycat companies. On the other hand, just about all of those copycat companies are listed in the USA. So, for example, Baidu is the copycat of Google and was pulling back really quite sharply in here today. NetEase was among the biggest decliners on the Nasdaq in here today, and this looks like a first step below the peak in here. Then, when we look at, for example, Tencent, its primary listing is in Hong Kong. It was really hitting the headlines today because they're anticipating narrower margins, and Naspers took today as the opportunity to unload about approximately $10 billion worth of supply into fund managers' hands. And this is really quite a large downward dynamic. But what I think is that Tencent represents really a beautiful teaching example from the perspective of the chart seminar, because it trended in a steep manner, but it was a beautifully consistent trend all the way through until November. Then we had a much larger pullback, and it was able to bounce so impressively in the very early part of December that people were willing to look past that, and it pushed on to new highs. But this is something that we often see in very consistent trends, is that they pick up pace, and then they tend to lose consistency at the penultimate high, because institutional investors get spooked by the larger pullback. Retail investors are emboldened by the pullback because they've been waiting for a pullback to buy, and they rush in. But because the institutional buying has stopped or it's in a wait and see mode, then the high isn't sustained, and we've now seen a loss of momentum and more ranging for Tencent, and now it's pulling back in a dynamic manner. And this is the kind of action that will contribute either to a medium-term correction or potentially a top. This is, I think, the environment that we're in right now. That some of the shares that have been incredibly overextended relative to their respective trend means are probably coming under selling pressure, or that we're seeing some profit taking just on a sell first, ask questions later basis. So, despite the fact that Amazon does not have operations in China to any measurable extent, it is really quite overextended, and it was obviously in negative territory today. It's simply by the ETF effect that if people are taking profits, it's going to have an effect on just about everything. But what this does contribute to is that we're still in a corrective environment, and that is no less the case for Europe. Europe is in an environment where it has pulled back sharply. It has so far failed to sustain a move back above the trend mean. And it has been up one week and down the next. But if we look at the internal dynamics of the range since February, it's the blue candles really stand out, that it is falling in 2 or 3 days what it takes upwards of 2 weeks to achieve on the upside. It's falling faster than it's rising. And the index was off its lows today, but because of the late selling pressure that we've had on Wall Street, it's likely to be in negative territory tomorrow. Well, then if we look at what's going on in China, then the H-share index was in negative territory in here today, and so far it is holding that 12,000 level, but that was an awfully big downward dynamic that we saw back in February. And when we think about it in those terms, that it did accelerate to get up to the 14,000 level, and that does represent the upper side of an almost decade-long range. And so far, that is confirming resistance at the upper side of that range. The 12,000 level in the region of the trend mean absolutely has to hold, or this really quite consistent advance since early 2016 will have been broken. And when we look at the, well, let's look at the CSI 300. And this is the futures traded index for mainland China. And it is above the trend mean. It is holding that 4,000 level. But that was an awfully large downward dynamic that we saw in February. And the rebound has been relatively modest, but so far it is still above the trend mean. And as long as it's doing that, then the extent of profit erosion that people have experienced will probably not be that great. But if the selling pressure we're seeing coming through on some of those US traded Chinese shares is any guide, then we should start to see at least some, I think, profit taking coming through in China. And I think it is also worth highlighting that the point I've been making for the last 2 months is that China deserves an additional risk premium. That there is, because of the transition from single party to single person rule, that deserves an additional risk premium. Now, when we look at some of what had been the better performing ASEAN markets, the Indonesian market is almost completing a reversion back to the mean. The Vietnamese market was at a new recovery high in here today, but it is susceptible to some pause of consolidation, not least because it is unlikely to be able to continue to advance in such a dynamic manner in isolation. The Thai market has been consolidating over the course of the last 2 months, but it does look like that there is potential here for an additional reversion back towards the mean. Then, when we look at India, it has so far held the region of the 10,000 level on the Nifty, but it is right now in the region of the trend mean. And India is a volatile market. It is prone to occasional bouts of additional volatility, and this is the largest pullback we've seen in at least a year. Now, the last time we saw a pullback of this magnitude was at the end of 2016, and then we saw a period of support building over the course of about 3 months, and then it broke higher. And we're going to need to see something similar to that on this occasion to confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. And I think it is worth keeping a close eye on the banking index because it has been a lead indicator for the market for the last number of years, and it is now below the trend mean and testing its lows. So we have to at least be prepared for additional volatility on the Indian market. Then, when we look at Japan, well, the Nikkei was actually in positive territory in here today, but the chances are it'll be in negative territory tomorrow, and it's been ranging around this 21,000 level for the last while, which coincides with the region of the trend mean. Well, this is a potential, well, it is so far it's been a short-term area of support, but considering that when we look at what's going on with the yen and the dollar pushing down now to a new closing low against the yen, that's likely to put some downward pressure on Japanese equities. I continue to think that Japan is an attractive medium-term investment opportunity, but I don't personally have a position there right now. But I will be looking at it as one of the ones that I'd be willing to buy when we do see that we're coming towards the end of this corrective phase. When we look at Australia, then the commodity complex came under some selling pressure in here today, not least because the commodities themselves are so dependent on demand from China. The ASX 200 has been ranging in a very inert manner for the last month, and this is not characteristic. We can see clearly that whenever the ASX is inert, that it generally tends to break out in a very dynamic manner. The lows are at 5,900, and there has been a progression of lower valley highs since January. And it really is going to require a sustained and clear move above 6,000 to question potential for additional lower to lateral ranging in here. And the Aussie dollar has also bounced from the region of the trend mean yesterday, but then it gave the whole thing up in here today. So it is now likely that it's going to come back and test the lows that we saw back in December. We can see that the region of the trend mean has not been a particularly effective area of support for the Aussie dollar over the course of the last 2.5 years. It has been the broad progression of higher major reaction lows that have acted as the primary bullish focus. So that would suggest that there's at least another 2 cents of risk in the Aussie dollar over the course of the next couple of weeks. Then the gold price today was in mildly negative territory, but it has held the majority of the advance put in yesterday. So it could have given it all up, and that has not been the case. Considering that there are risks that are rising in other asset classes, gold does not look like a particularly expensive proposition in here, and it has bounced rather effectively from the $1,300 area. If we see upside follow through tomorrow, well, then that will begin to pressure the progression of lower rally highs since January, and it will open up the prospect of a return to outperformance here. I think that gold is one of the more attractive assets right now, considering that it does not look overvalued, and most particularly when we have that longer term chart that has got this very rounding characteristic. If you were to open a textbook and look for a saucering pattern, so far, as long as that progression of high reaction lows, particularly since the lows at the beginning of 2017, the end of 2016 hold, we can conclude that this is a saucering pattern, and that generally is resolved by an upward break. So I think this is a particularly interesting time to keep an eye on the gold price. And when we look at the oil price, it was really rather impressive on the upside yesterday, with Brent coming right back up to test the $70 area, and it has paused in here today, but again, it has held the majority of the advance. So generally speaking, when we are late in the cycle, you do tend to get outperformance by resources, and particularly oil and gold. But the industrial metals were in negative territory today, and the miners are now right back in the region of their respective trend means. They're heavily dependent on what China decides to do. I rather question what kind of tariffs they could possibly put on industrial resources when they're so dependent on imports. But nonetheless, people are, I think there is quite a bit of evidence that people are getting a little bit antsy about exactly what to own and what to continue to invest in. We can see that the FTSE 350 mining index was off its lows in here today, but not in a particularly dynamic fashion. So we're certainly in a more corrective environment. This was another index that I was looking at before I started recording. It's the S&P 500 Internet and Software Services Index, and it includes companies like Google and eBay. Well, it trended beautifully higher in a very consistent manner for the last almost 9 years, and now we've had a much larger pullback. This is the biggest downward dynamic we've seen in the entire history of since the advance since late 2008. Well, every single time it has pulled back to the region of the trend mean since 2012, it has bounced. So what happens over the course of the next week is going to be rather significant for this particular index. And it's got Alphabet, Facebook, and eBay as constituents within it. Then when we look at the consumer staples, well, sorry, we've already looked at the consumer staples. The consumer discretionary is heavily influenced by what happens with Amazon, but Amazon was certainly contributing to the acceleration that we saw at the end of last year, but now the index has lost momentum. This does look like a lower high, and I think the most likely scenario is that we're going to see a reversion back towards the mean. So we are still very much in a corrective phase, and whether that will one of the other points that was, I think, relevant in the early part of the year, and it's equally relevant now, and it was something that came through as well in what Powell was saying yesterday. The conclusion the market has reached from Powell's first testimony is that he is going to be more evidence-based. And If he sees evidence of the economy slowing or of a substantial market pullback, well, then that will probably coincide with a I think an easing of the more hawkish tone that they've had in terms of interest rates. When we look back over history, new central bank governor, new Fed governors, excuse me, have been tested by the market. And so far, Powell has not really been tested. And there is the potential that he will be tested over the course of the next few months. So I think that this is a we're still in a corrective environment. The vast majority of these indices are still trading above their respective trend means, but Europe is definitely lagging in here, and we obviously know why. There is a very uncertain political environment still evolving within Europe, and I don't think that that is yet over. So I think with that, I will leave you for today, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.